Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to a midweek release of Get a Grip. And Max is, you guys can't see him. I don't know the reason for this. I waited to ask this question on the podcast. Max is recording from what looks like my closet in Marshall, Texas. Are you in a closet? Is this the new media, Max?
I'm in a closet. I missed two of the three cuts. I figured I'd punish myself, go full Harry Potter style, live in a closet. No, we are, my wife and I and our dog Scotty are currently on a, I wouldn't call it a vacation. We're on a, we're spending the week in San Diego to avoid the COVID spike that is in all of Arizona and especially Phoenix, Scottsdale area. So I'm just trying not to get that so I can go back and play. The weather here also is considerably better than where you are right now.
It's hey, listen. Yeah, we got a high a day ago. We're recording on Wednesday. We got a high a day ago, not in the triple digits. So things are looking up. Max, can I just say, June 2020, I'm going to say not our month.
Not our month.
I'm really glad we're into July. I mean, this COVID thing's not going away, and we'll get into it disrupting life, disrupting the PGA Tour, and everybody basically kind of going back to what we went through in March. I mean, for good reason. It's blowing up all around the country. The golf, I don't think, went your way. I think it's probably a fair thing to say. And then, you know, over the weekend, one of the reasons we're kind of we've delayed the recording was obviously the news that came out about what I typically do for a living that was we were expected to do here in a little bit. So I just wanted to say we have a birthday calendar. You're on it. No big deal.
Oh, sick.
Flipped it to July 1 today. And it was a relief. I got to say
that is a nice change. Yeah. June wasn't for us. July will be, you know, new month, new us. Yeah, the COVID thing, very interesting. First week on tour, we had no cases and none on the Corn Ferry either. And then South Carolina happened and we had a couple more. Shout out South Carolina. And then we get to, you know, Connecticut, and it was a crazy week. I didn't really know much about it, but, you know, apparently the governor 2 days after we got there, which I wonder if that was, you know, part of the plan, decided to put on a quarantine, not a quarantine ban, but a travel stipulation that if you came in from certain states, one of which was South Carolina for good reason, as I've mentioned, you had to quarantine yourself for like 10 to 14 days. We obviously didn't have to do that, but we were starting to think that maybe this isn't going to happen. And then, the vibe was kind of weird around the tournament. A couple people got it. You know, I played Thursday in my group. We were, I think, a group in front of Denny McCarthy, Bud Cauley, and Matt Wallace. And I find out Friday morning that Denny had gotten it. He actually had felt sick the night before. So he went in with some symptoms, which was the first and I think only we've had with symptoms. Bud, being just trying to be cautious, decided to go in and get tested. And I don't know if it took too long or if he just decided not to play, but he ended up playing. It was kind of funny. Matt had to play behind us as a single behind a threesome. That probably wasn't super fun. We watched him read one putt for like 5 minutes. and I don't know if he made it. So I'm sure it just felt like a waste. But yeah, it was a weird week. Obviously, more of these things are popping up. Fortunately, a lot of them, like I said, no one seems to feel too sick. It is odd. I mean, Cameron Champ gets his. I think he was the first of the week and then does three tests after and they're all negative. So I'm not sure if a lot of these are false positives and then we're being cautious because of it, or if they did have it and it just somehow was out of their system very quickly after. I'm not really sure, but it's definitely become, not that it wasn't before, but it's you know, big talking point again. So hopefully things keep getting better. I thought the Commissioner Monahan's speech press conference was great. I liked what he said. I liked that he said that we're gonna have to learn to live with this. You know, people fortunately on the PGA Tour aren't getting too sick, and if we keep doing what we're doing, which is isolating ourselves and staying away from like the you know, the general population, even if someone does have it, we're not giving it to anybody. So I don't think that it's overly dangerous there, which is obviously the main concern. You know, it's not just about us. Obviously, this is about other people. We're not trying to come to cities and give it to other people, but I don't think that that's been the case at all. So hopefully it keeps getting better. They changed, you know, some of the rules and really tightened things up. But I guess this is just going to happen as the commissioner said, you know, we are still going to have to go to hotels I still have to pick up food here and there. So you just do your best. We're wearing a mask everywhere. All of us, you know, at least the travelers had to wear a mask everywhere. It's very regimented, and hopefully it just keeps getting better. But this was going to happen. This was bound to happen a little bit. But I'm glad that nobody kind of overreacted to the fact that we've had some, because again, like a few of these, Brooks Koepka's caddy Ricky Elliott got it and said he felt fine, and then also I think he took another test and was negative. So it's definitely confusing, as this has been for the last 4 or 5 months. So we don't know, but I know everyone's taking it very seriously, and we have been taking it seriously. It's kind of frustrating to hear at times, or at least read at times that, you know, oh, now the players are getting that it's serious. I think that we have all taken this very seriously. It's just the people around us outside of the golf. It's hard. You know, like I said, you're going to at least come in contact with something someone else has come in contact with at some point. It's almost impossible not to. So everyone's doing their best, and hopefully it gets a little bit better. Coming in the next, couple weeks or so. But yeah, that's why I'm in San Diego, just trying my best not to get it. So, I can keep playing.
It's next level quarantining if you lock yourself in a closet. That is, I've read about 10, I've read like the 10 checklist things, and that's on there. You personally, and you're a guy that has, if anybody's listened to this over the last few months, you sign off with wash your hands. You're a guy that has taken this seriously from the start. What are your weeks like? What are they like, 3 weeks in to playing back on tour? You're not playing this week, correct? You're not
correct. Yeah.
You're not playing Rocket Mortgage. So you're in California. What are your weeks like when you're on tour, when you're not on the golf course, you're not at the practice facility? What are you doing?
Like literally nothing.
Push-ups?
Yeah. I did do a lot of push-ups. I feel pretty good. I actually feel like I started to burn off the quarantine weight. But yeah, not a lot. I really do just go, golf course, back to hotel and sit there. Like last week, especially, I was just locked in my room, I guess the last 2 weeks.
Dallas, like reading books?
I read a book. Read a book by Ron Reed, who was the starter for the US Open for a really long time. And it was an interesting book. I played some video games here and there. I'm still not very good at them, but did that. But yeah, it was incredibly boring the last 2.5 weeks. I thought that the first week was at least somewhat fun, just because everyone was staying at the hotel we were at, or mostly everybody. So when you would eat downstairs, in the restaurants we were allowed to eat at, like you would see other people. But yeah, I felt like I lost some touch with personal connection, you get so excited to be at the range so you could see people. But yeah, it's been I don't know if everyone's taking it. I'm hoping and I'm hearing people are taking it as serious, but I just really just lock myself in my room and do my best not to have to go do anything. Obviously I got to grab food at some point, but yeah, it's just very lonely and isolated. But at the same time, I've thought about it a lot. As bored as I was comparing and contrasting the pros and cons, and I would much rather be out playing and competing and doing what I love than not. So it's all good. But it is, you just watch a lot of TV, especially after I missed the cut. I didn't fly home till Sunday, and you really can't do anything. I couldn't.
Can you go to the course and hit balls?
I felt like that would be a bad idea or bad look. I just don't think it was necessary for me to go there. If I didn't have a week off, I would have, which I think other people have done. But since I did, I was like, I'm just going to take a couple days.
Right.
Because it's just, I don't know if it's worth me going over there. If I did have it, I think that would obviously be bad because I'd possibly be contaminating other people. I obviously this is very contagious. And also if I'm not, but someone else is there, just for my own well-being, I might as well just stay away. But it's not like it's crazy different. It's not like I'm out raging during the weeks of these tournaments, but it does feel like, I think it's more the vibe. You feel a little bit more like I cannot go outside, And so it almost suffocates you a little bit more.
It feels like, you mentioned cases going up in Arizona, it feels like anything you want to do in terms of following orders. So if you're going to go to a drive-thru at a Starbucks or, if you need to go to the grocery store, everybody knows the last few months, everything's felt like you have that moment of questioning, do I need to do this? Is it worth doing this? am I prepared in terms of all the stuff I've got to take? So I can only assume, you know, being back on the road and playing on the road and doing all these things, I can imagine it's probably disrupted you a little bit of what it's normally like, and it's doing that to everybody. But I know the week off's probably been helpful. California weather probably not so
it's
bad.
Pretty good.
All right, so let's dive into your golf for just a moment.
Yeah.
You missed the cut. Well, more importantly, and
I know you're
in the
choked.
Closet. I haven't texted you anything about this. I just looked up where you're at.
Where am I at?
Now, you dropped from third to sixth in the most important list in the history of the world.
There.
Aon Risk Reward Challenge year to date through the Travelers. You are currently trailing Abraham Ancer, who like leapfrogged everybody. You know what? I need to look this up, and I'm going to look this up when you mention it. I need to see how he played the 15th. He went from T10th to fifth.
Yeah, see, but that's what I'm doing it from six. I'm going to jump from
six
to one.
I know. You can take all these guys down.
I need to.
Nick Taylor leading. Bryson
second.
Yeah,
he hasn't been playing. I think he's riding out the Aon.
Charles Howell, the third, is in third. That seems
shocker.
Appropriate. Graham McDowell, fourth. Ancer, fifth. Whatever he did on the 15th this past week. And then you're beating Hideki and Rory. But yeah, I mean, you were primed and ready to eagle 15 every day this past
really
week and be first. And unfortunately, that didn't happen.
I'm glad this was the hole too, because I think this is one of the most interesting holes on the PGA Tour. Solly had tweeted about it too, and I was joking with him. I thought,
you've got to tell people who that is. I mean,
it's Chris Solomon, one of the figureheads, talking heads of the No Laying Up Corporation. But he had tweeted out that, something about the 15th hole. I think he thought I was debating him. I was just presenting a different option, whatever, it's neither here nor there. But the point is 15 is an awesome, probably my favorite short par four on the PGA Tour. 10 at Riv is up there, but I think this presents way more options, and way more creativity. It's a pretty hard, hole. You know, I feel like a lot of these Aon holes haven't been particularly demanding, but this one really was. I mean, I was reading more about the Aon and as one does. And
wait a minute,
I was trying to learn how you win this thing.
Why did you not email me this information? I need more info.
I was deep in the weeds, but I guess it's only your two best scores, so making the cut is helpful because you get two more opportunities. So yeah, I botched it the first day. I hit a good tee shot long left at a kind of a crummy lie, tricky chip. Ran it like 12 feet by, missed. Shocker. By the way, I'll do my whole week of golf or my whole 2 days of golf in one quick sentence. I hit it great. I putt it bad. Like just rinsed and repeat for 2 days. And then the second day, I hit in the front right bunker, and it's just to the front left pin is such a hard shot. The green runs away and then it runs down the hill and then it runs into that 1 yard strip of rough that Solly didn't like. And I get why he didn't like it. But it did present the option of going for it, I think, a little bit more freedom. Now, Dustin Johnson's ball somehow stays up. I have no idea. Every ball I saw land left of the green got into the water. If you landed one, like the first day I was long left, but I landed it on the green and it ran off the back. But it's one of those classic, like, the cameras don't give it justice, don't do it justice. The green is raised and it has like 4 or 5 sections on the green. It's one of the most intricate greens I've played. And it runs off hard on every single side with fairway. And this is where I was talking to actually Tron, also from the No Laying Up Corporation, about how I don't believe par is relevant. You know, I especially in viewing golf, par shouldn't matter. So if you just looked at this as a whole, one of the things Tron always talks about, and I agree with him, and we talk about this quite often, is I wish that there was less rough around the greens, in pretty much all of golf. Now, certain golf courses, it's okay, but runoffs are fun because you see then people chip. Like last week, I chipped, there's a lot of runoffs. I chipped with an 8-iron from the fairway. I chipped with, bumping a 50 or bumping a 56 into a hill. Sometimes I'll take it on and try to spin a 60. Like a lot of thought goes into it, and then a lot of creativity. And then most importantly, a lot of skill becomes, more prevalent and more important. So this hole did that. I hit, like I said, the first day I hit a long left, back pins back right. So I'm in a pretty good spot. The green actually runs towards me. So I'm chipping uphill. However, if I hit it too far, it goes down the hill and I have another chip, and that one would have been brutal. But if it comes out of this lie I had that wasn't great, not very good, not very well, it comes right back to my feet. So it's demanding me to hit a really good shot. Now I hit an okay shot. It runs like 12, 15 feet by. And now I have a really tricky chip or putt. The reason I ran it by most likely is just because I was a little bit fearful of being short and having the same shot again. So, and then like I was saying on Friday, I hit in the bunker. It was an impossible shot, especially off the downslope. And I hit an okay bunker shot, but not enough spin, and it just rolls off the back. And then I have another chip. Fortunately, get up and down for par to save the Aeon, slide I was on. But it's a great hole. The pins are so difficult that there's really never a great side to miss it on. Even like I was saying with the front left pin, which I think is the best pin, and they moved the tee up, so it was a 3 or 4 iron, but even if you hit it right, like where Leishman in my group hit it, was perfectly pin high right. Now, the chip is very, very fast, but he's in the fairway and he could spin it and he hit a great chip. But if you are a little further than that, now you're chipping across the spine and that chip no longer is very easy. And if you're short of where he was, you're actually chipping, you have to play a lot of break, or you actually have to bump it into the hill. And like I said, if you mess it up, you have the same shot again, or you have one from where I was, which is over the green now in the rough, between the rough and the water. If you were to take the rough out, a lot of people would still go for it, but it would be so much more circumstantial. I don't think Dustin would have ever gone for it with the lead. I think he would have laid up. Now, his ball 100% deserved to be in the water. Shout out hashtag ball don't lie. So he was destined to win that golf tournament. But it would be too high of a risk, because even if you missed it right at the green, that next chip you have, you would actually probably have to bail somewhere either elsewhere on the green, or like to the front of the green or short of the green or something like that to have a chip. So it's just like a genius hole. It pretty much makes you go for it because it's so short, but it's going to leave you, unless you hit a perfect tee shot which needs actually a good kick and some luck, it's going to leave you a really awkward chip, don't matter where you are. So that's why I like the hole. That's why I like the little strip of rough. I don't even know if I like the strip of rough, but I think that's why they put it there. I think it really does add a lot more people going for it. I think that, I mean, think about it. If Dustin's ball does do what every other ball, I'm assuming that week did that landed there, goes in the water, the tournament maybe changes a little bit. He probably still gets it up and down as he did for par, but it changes a little bit. If you take that rough out, and he would almost positively lay up and then hit a wedge on it, it'd be a fairly boring hole because the pin placements are so difficult that the wedge shot becomes one that you're going to play very defensively. And I'm not saying that I'm not for scores being higher. Like, if you want to make it harder and that's the way you want to do it, that's totally good by me. But I think they were just presenting that option to create more drama by having more people go for it, regardless of their circumstance. Like, you're just going to go for it. It's a hybrid for Dustin. But If you're up two and there, it's very likely you could hit that ball in the water and then chip it in the water again, I do feel like you would lay up more often than not. If you're inside the cut line by one or two, you might do the same thing. So I think that that's why they did it. But it would be interesting to see them take the rough out, because my ball on Friday would have gone in the water, my bunker shot. So and knowing that that was a mega, like a huge option, I would have played a completely different shot. But I was still left with a tricky chip. You know, Scott Harrington tweeted and said that he did the same thing I did and made a six. So it's like, you know, it's still a really hard hole. It's one of the toughest short holes that I can think of to make birdie on. I don't think it's brutal to make par on, but I do think it's one of those tricky ones to make birdie on, because there's just not a lot of leaves to the hole, like to the pins. There's just, you know, if the pin's back right and you're anywhere right, you're kind of dead. So you need to be either short left, which brings in the water, or long left, which brings in the water. And yeah, I don't know. I just think it's one of the coolest holes. I thought the whole golf course was really, really cool. I would say that I think that the scores are so low lately. These cuts have been crazy low, but I think it's because the fields have been so good. I will say that Hilton Head didn't have much wind, and it was quite soft. But even like last week at Travelers, I didn't think it was that soft. It wasn't firm, but it wasn't that soft. And the scores were still really low. I just think the fields have been so much better than normal because of the way the season is turning out. And so the cuts are getting lower because the fields are just a shade deeper or whatever. I don't really know. But that's been an interesting one, because I've also had a lot of people tell me that because there's no fans, it's going to be considerably harder, which I just... it's not. So I don't know how to argue this one anymore. It's just not. I mean, I know certain people get kicks that go in, you know, instead of going out of bounds, go back and play, or they go on the green. I don't know. I don't see it all that much. So I would argue that, you know, 4 under cuts are pretty wild. I didn't play great, but I sure didn't play horrible. And I still was outside the cut by two. It's just, you know, I guess where we are right now with these fields, you're going to have to play some great golf even just to make the weekend.
Yeah. Two under on 15. That's it. So
that's it. Yeah. So that's all you need. That's all you need. The hole played quite difficult. It's just, it's a tricky little hole.
I'm with you. I love, you know what I think is a cool little addition to a drivable hole is it when you don't have to hit driver to get there.
Yeah, I see. That's what par is irrelevant. So why do you have to, like, you could hit any club. And from the back, right, you still are hitting three wood. Like, it's not, it played 250 front or something like that one of the days. But the first day we played, it was 270 front. So it's not like, I'm totally with you. You shouldn't have to hit driver on these par fours for it to be like this good short par four. Like,
right, too many of them are 360 and 350. And yeah, it's fun sometimes when you get 298 or 305. I mean, I think that's what is so great about Riviera's 10th hole. You know, I mean, the green's awesome and the bunkers are brutal and the whole design is the design. But I love the idea that you can get a ball up there with the long iron if you're super long. You know, I mean, if you're a top five, top 10 guy on tour and distance, you know, you might hit a two or three iron one day and hit it up there near the front of the green. And most of the modern day drivable holes, I feel like, are always the same distance. It's always 335.
You're smashing. I think the genius of 10 at Riv is, and to your exact point, is distance control off that tee is way more important than accuracy because you can play it way left. Now, accuracy is still important. If you're any kind of right of the front part of the green, you're dead. But distance control is the most important part. You need to be whatever it is, 285, right on it. Now, this one, 15 at Travelers at TPC River Highlands, distance control is obviously important, but not nearly as demanding. Like, you need to be very, very accurate. Because like I said, if you're a little too far right, a little too far left, either you have a brutal chip or it goes in the water more often than not. So that's the difference. And yeah, like you said, you don't need driver to do those things. But I think, like, again, go back to what I talk to with the no laying up guys quite often, because they're big on like the architecture stuff. And I don't know enough to really like harp on it. But what I do know is I like creative shots. I love watching the British Open because you see shots that you don't typically see. You see low, you see running, you see playing along the ground, or you see carving shots up against the wind. You see a lot of different shots. I think that the 15th hole and a lot of holes at Travelers, but especially the 15th hole, presents this whole new repertoire of shots. Like, you need to play, like I said, bumping into a hill and then spinning it so it doesn't run away into the water or down a hill. Like, you're going to see new shots. You're going to see a hooking three iron onto that green that has to run perfectly up the hill. If you don't have a club that's going to land and stick, which most people don't, you know, even I saw Rory hit a great shot, but his ball still bounced, you know, 40 some odd feet. So that's why I like it, because if par is irrelevant, which it really should be, we add up the total number of shots hit, not how many under par we are. The important, you know, it becomes more fun to watch when you see somebody hitting this like crafty little shot in there, not just seeing somebody be like, okay, like you said, the hole's 335. I'm going to smoke a driver as hard as I can, and hopefully it gets on the green. Like,
yeah, get in a bunker and I can make three.
Yeah, that's not, you're not seeing a creative shot. You're just seeing a bomb driver. Like, now we're talking about working some sort of shot in there.
You take distance away. I mean, and that's what that's what's fun. I have a random question. You get a genie pops out of your golf bag one day and says, hey, Max, for the rest of your life, every iron you hit is either going to be exactly directly at the flagstick or is going to be absolutely directly hole high. Which one are you taking?
Hole high. Bob Burns, who is a old pro, he's pretty famous in Southern California. We asked him a question when we were younger. We said, what do tour pros work on the most? And we're thinking, it could be, you know, anything, putting, you know, spinning chips, whatever. He said, being pin high. And we all kind of like scrunched our eyes and we're like, what do you, like, that's a terrible answer. And he said, listen, man, if you're pin high, you pretty much never have more than 15 feet for birdie. He's like, it's very important. That's been a staple in my game. That's probably what I'm the best at, is I am pin high a lot. And I think it's as important as accuracy, because whether you say it's because the ball doesn't curve anymore or whatever, people, great golfers, don't miss 8 irons, 6 irons, 7 irons too far offline. But getting the distance right is something that fluctuates, you know, with whether it's wind, heat, you know, maybe you just catch it a little off the center. Like, being pin high is so freaking important and so undervalued by like the average golfer. You know, I used to joke, you know, with my dad, but all golfers do that, this that are average. It's like, how far do you hit your 7-iron? Hit 185 yards. Do you, or did you just do that one time?
Right. Yeah.
You did it one time. So you don't really hit at 185. You hit at 170, which is okay. But like, just be the guy that keeps hitting the 7-iron 170. You don't need to be the guy who every once in a while will hit at 185. So I'm always going with the pin high. I just think it's super important, and something that, like I said, is undervalued and underappreciated, especially even in the pro game. I don't think people notice just how often, you know, I think that's why Colin Morikawa is probably the best iron player going right now. That dude, watch him next time. He is pin high so often. It's just hard to mess it up from 15 feet pin high right. You know, it's just hard. But you're gonna mess it up with 35 short. Yeah,
there you go. That's a par every time. It
Which
would
one
be
are you
wild.
Taking, Shane?
I mean, hole high for sure. Okay. But it would be so wild if you decided just for fun to tell the genie you're going to take one at the flagstick every time, and every tracer you hit on TV was
rough.
Right at it. Well, every on-course announcer's like, Max has a 4-iron here. Like, he hit it, and he's like, oh, it's right at it. You'd be like, yeah, we know. We know it's right at it. It's always right at it.
These That'd be funny even better if the ball took off like 100 yards right, and then you just see it autocorrect like at it.
Like Space Jam when Jordan makes the one.
That would have actually been perfect.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Shane, I've got a question for you.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Can we talk about the Fox thing?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I know
sure.
It's not the happiest subject, but I think a lot of people have just general questions. So we won't dive too deep into it. I want to lead off. I tweeted it. I loved what Fox did with golf. I thought that Chambers Bay the first year was an absolute disaster. And I think that's okay to admit. I just don't, it's hard. Golf, you know better than I, but broadcasting golf is hard. I thought that I don't know if anything I've ever watched has gotten as good as fast as Fox did at golf. I thought the next year was tremendous, and I thought every year after has been good. I watch all of the, you know, like this U.S. Amateur, U.S. Women's Amateur,
right.
All the other ones too, and they're all great. But I thought that Fox literally innovated golf watching. I think that they added so much shot tracer. They added, and we make fun of the mics and the cups, but you pointed out that you hear so much more, really. So we can deal with the weird, golden tee noise. Like, it's going to be okay.
Well, and I mean, all the audio we got at Oakmont, you know, when Dustin won and the whole putting controversy and everything that happened. I mean, all of that audio was
totally
the mic
in
the cup.
And that's innovative, and that's thinking outside the box, and that's pushing some envelopes. So I think that they did such, and you did such a tremendous job. I loved watching, especially the U.S. Open, so much coverage. It was nice to see different voices go through, you and Brad, then transitions into Joe Buck and Zinger at the time. So, like, I just thought that was great. So I just want to point out, I'm bummed, not just for you, but I'm bummed because I thought NBC is going to do a good job, but I really, really enjoyed it. I liked it being a breath of fresh air. But I want to know, first off, are you guys still doing the other USGA events?
No. All of it's to NBC. I mean, you know, I found out on Sunday morning. I got a call Sunday morning. I was on a run, and you know, obviously it was very surprised. I mean, I didn't expect it to come. I hadn't heard anything about it, and it was a little bit of a gut punch, just because, you know, we, like you said, we get so excited. It's what we have circled on our calendar, and I appreciate you mentioning the stuff outside the U.S. Open. I mean, everything I've seen or read, it all focuses on our U.S. Open coverage. And Fox Golf was a lot bigger than that. I mean, U.S. Open was our biggest week, no doubt about it. Most person power we had on the grounds. But, you know, we did 8 to 10 events every summer. And all those same people that did the U.S. Open, all the people behind the scenes, Mark Loomis, Steve Byme, you know, everybody. I could name 100 names right now of people that were unbelievable and that did a great job with what they did. You know, those same people are doing the U.S. Amateur and the Girls Junior and the U.S. Junior and the Curtis Cup and the Walker Cup. And so everything I see, you know, and rightfully so, I mean, the U.S. Open is the gem of that package. But, you know, I mean, some of our favorite events, you know, if you call Julie Inkster or Faxon or Curtis Strange or anybody on the team, Flesh, you know, Nicole Castrolli, and you said, hey, what event did you like to do the most? I feel like they'd all have a different answer. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I always say that the women's amateur we did last year with Ruffles winning was one of the most exciting events I've ever been a part of in any capacity. I mean, watching it, broadcasting it, or otherwise. So, yeah, I mean, it's a bummer because it was so much fun. And I feel like, I don't know this because I haven't been on another broadcasting crew that does golf, but you know, our chemistry on the broadcast and off the broadcast, I mean, Joe Buck, you know, would play golf with us anywhere. We dragged him all over the place. Zinger didn't really play. Curtis didn't really play. But outside of those guys, you know, we were all teeing it up. We were driving after broadcast, you know, after broadcast to a golf course to play nine holes. And, you know, you'd be pinching yourself because Julie Inkster would be one of the four with you, you know. And so those were the things that I'll miss. I'll miss all the random places we've been. And I was really proud of the work we did. And so, you know, it was like I said, it was a gut punch. And I was surprised by the news. But, you know, one of the first people I texted was Dan Hicks and said, hey, man, you know, you guys are going to do an unbelievable job. And I'm excited to hear and see what you guys do. And I know that'll be the case. And so, yeah, I mean, it was an unbelievable few years. I wrote this on Instagram. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster my entire life. I mean, that was my dream since I was a kid. And, you know, getting to call a U.S. Open or getting to call a U.S. Amateur as my first full gig doing this, I mean, that is pinch yourself stuff. So, you know, the Fox team and Loomis that you know, gave me that opportunity, to the USGA and Mike Davis and everybody who said, sure, we'll use this kid. That's fine. I mean, you know, I hope he doesn't screw it up, but we'll use him. I mean, that, you know, that's a big deal. I'm not sure I'll get an opportunity like that for a while in terms of getting to call such a big sporting event and be a part of such unbelievable events and tournaments. So yeah, it was crazy. I was digital coverage at Chambers Bay doing featured holes. I thought I was like Joe Buck basically in that seat, you know, because I was getting to do this thing with Robert Dameron. Dameron and I drove out and watched the final three holes once they came through our featured hole and we were done. And I was standing in 18 fairway when Spieth hit that shot into 18. And I still remember this, Max. The next year, it was the last event we did in 15 into 16, was we did the Shark Shootout because, you know, Greg Norman was a part of the broadcast. And Loomis had called me and said, hey, I want you to come down there and you guys are going to do something. I'm going to do something with Holly, you know, kind of a interview type of feature stuff we'll do on the side. I remember I was sitting in this meeting room and it was me, Buck, Greg Norman, Flesh, Inkster, and I'm looking around like, why in the hell am I in this room? You know, I mean, this is really intimidating to be sitting in this room with about seven people. All are either Hall of Famers or, you know, in their craft or have done all these things. And so it was an unbelievable 5 years, man. I mean, it was really, really cool to do it. And you know, I mean, hell, I met you doing an event. I mean, that's the first time I met you in person was doing the Walker Cup at LACC. So it was... Yeah, it's been a couple of days and I've had a chance to kind of, you know, reflect and just think about, you know, 2015 to now where we're at. And it was a hell of a ride, man. I was always pumped for the summer to come. And I always was bummed out when the amateur ended. And that was kind of the end of the summer.
Yeah. Well, I think first off, like not just you, but I think the whole crew, you could hear the passion and the excitement for the event. I think that, you know, obviously it helps to be a major for the fans because, you know, we're all excited. People are all excited to watch, but and see what happens. But I think that getting such a burst of energy from the crew was great too. I mean, I think that I'll speak for probably most of golf fans. It's fairly sleepy on a week to week basis. I actually think I've heard someone snore in the booth before. So it's nice to get like that. And that's what I think bums me out probably the most, whether you liked Joe Buck's commentary or not. I know that a lot of people didn't and some people did. Like I liked it, but I liked how excited he was to do it. It was a breath of fresh air for him who does, you know, baseball. You know, we know Joe Buck from baseball and you get him in golf. And I think people's knee jerk reaction was, ugh, like he should just be doing baseball. It's like, well, don't you like this energy? And I like him asking questions that aren't typically asked because maybe like the average golfer doesn't know that. You know, I'm watching this as somebody who knows more about golf than most everybody on the planet. So it's kind of refreshing to have somebody ask such maybe a more simple question or a more generalized topic instead of, you know, I'm not going to name names, but certain broadcasters will just jump like four steps in the thought process. Like my old math teacher used to do, and he would just jump straight to like this one thing. And I'm like, yo man, like I need you to break this thing down.
Why'd you skip steps one through three?
Yeah, I need one through three. So that's going to be a bummer, but I was curious, did you have any inkling this was going to happen? I didn't know anything.
No, I didn't. I mean, we were prepping for the year. I mean, you know, listen, business is business. And you know, one thing that, again, I try to look at stuff positively. I try to look at how how can this be a positive? Because obviously I'm going to be bummed out because we were so excited. I mean, U.S. Open at Wingfoot, I was really excited about. I mean, the U.S. Amateurs at Bannon Dunes. I mean, a place, yeah. Could you think of a place I was more excited to broadcast an event from?
I've heard you like Bannon Dunes.
It's a little bit of one of my favorite places, just a hair, just a little bit.
And hey, Faxon, we could go again. We
Faxon
could go
has
again.
Never been. Faxon's never been. We were so excited to go out there and give him a taste of Bannon for the first time, and I was bummed out. But no, it didn't know it. But I mean, again, you know, the business side of things, you know, if NFL's there, you know, listen, NFL is the monster, and we all know that. And if the NFL is week one's happening, NFL is going to be on Fox and CBS during the day, and it's going to be on NBC at night, and it's going to be on ESPN on Monday night. I mean, that is what is going to happen with sport, because we know what the monster sport is, and that is the NFL. And so, you know, hopefully I'll get some opportunities to do some other stuff in terms of NFL, college basketball, maybe some baseball. I mean, I'm down for anything. I'm available for anything. I will do anything asked of me. I mean, I'm always trying to kind of, you know, expand what I can do and not be known as the quote unquote golf guy. But as you know, I mean, I love this sport and I was excited about it. And you nailed it. I mean, the passion of our crew. I mean, you find somebody that loves golf more than Joe Buck. Joe loves golf.
Yeah, Brad Faxon loves golf.
Is so excited to do anything in golf. I mean, Brad Faxon would be broadcasting a shot, texting some, you know, Hall of Fame instructor, writing something on a notepad to me, hitting the talk back to talk to Loomis all at the same time. I'm convinced. I think Brad might be Mensa level intelligent. I think is something worth pointing out, because he can just juggle all these things, and he was so talented at it. And obviously getting a chance to be around somebody with the amount of energy that Paul Azinger has is infectious to the entire crew. And like I said, the Loomises and the Bimes and Jesse and on down the list of everybody there. It's I sent a lot of texts and a lot of emails the last couple of days. And yeah, I mean, just proud of what we did. I'm proud of, hopefully we pushed the sport a little forward in terms of what we've done with the broadcast and some of the technological advances we've had. I think one thing we really worked hard on was just laying out at times and just not saying anything in terms of what we did in the booth, and let the golf kind of speaks for itself. And there were definitely moments where you'd want to jump in and talk, and we just really tried it especially at pivotal moments to just kind of let everything breathe. And that was something that Joe directed us on, and I thought it was an unbelievable call by him. And again, I think that goes back to your point. Maybe that's somebody that's not deep into the grass in golf, you know, saying something that ended up making sense, right? Hey, let's make sure we let this broadcast breathe a little bit with a sport that is good at breathing. And that was a great, great call by Joe. So a lot of friends, man, a lot of buddies of mine I'm not going to see this summer, which is a bummer. But again, I was happy and excited that we got to do what we've done 2015 and beyond. And a shout out and high five to everybody at Fox and the USGA who took a chance on a guy from the Back Nine Network that was trying to get into live broadcasting. And they allowed me to do that. So I just got a lot of love for everybody, man. I mean, it was an unbelievable group. We all ate dinner. We all went out and got drinks. We all played golf together. Again, I'm not sure that's the case always on these week to week broadcast crews.
Well, Shane, I for one, and I'm assuming tons of others, can't wait till you're in another role in golf, so we could continue to hear the most perfect voice there is. I also like to jump on that and say that at least you have your voice, because I think anywhere you go forever, you have a talking resume. Like, you just say, "Hi, I'm Shane Bacon." Someone's like, "You know what, man? You deserve to be on TV or the radio, or even, I don't know, some lowly podcast." Something you mentioned, by the way, is in my worst thing I heard this week. And it goes to laying out more, as I've mentioned more, that I like in broadcasts is when people do, stop talking just a little bit here and there, because I understand that it's quite hard to say a bunch of things right in a row. I, for one, say maybe 2-3 things right in a row ever. So I know that's difficult when you're constantly talking. So if you don't talk, you can't say anything wrong. So my worst thing I heard this week was I was watching golf on Saturday or Sunday as I missed the cut, as one does. And I heard, you know, Patton Kizzire's on the second hole. And somebody said, you know, Patton Kizzire, who's known for his length, also has a great wedge game. And let me just tell you guys, I think that person, whoever said it, just saw that Patton is an enormous human and said, yeah, that guy bombs it. Everybody bombs it. Patton doesn't hit it far at all. I double check because I play with Pat and he doesn't hit it far at all. We actually joke about it that he's such a behemoth of a man and he doesn't really smash it. Like, so, you know, Cameron Champ's probably half his size and smokes it by him. So I looked it up and he's 155th in driving distance this year. So, yeah.
Can I add something to that real quick? Also on the PGA Tour. So probably a pretty good wedge game.
Also that, yeah.
probably pretty sharp with the wedges. You know what? I'll say complete through the bag.
He's probably pretty good with everything. I would like to just, you know, like I said, just go with what you
double
just said
check
there. That you maybe, you know, you don't need to talk all the time. We're going to find that out. If he's way by the other guy, we're going to find out, hey, guess what? I've heard and also seen Bryson hits it far as hell. So don't need to, you know, hear about how far he hits it. Just let me see the numbers compared to somebody else's. Now, the best thing I heard this week, by the way, this has nothing to do with anything. Dustin hit it out of bounds on 13 or whatever. And I guess it was really close. And it just, I tweeted about it. It just reminded me why golf might be the dumbest game on this planet. Dottie Pepper so beautifully said, I'm not sure if it's in or out, but the rules official will come over with a string. I was just like, what a dumb game. The guy's so leading stupid. A golf tournament and a string is going to determine if it's in or out of bounds. But yeah, so also with absolutely no segue at all, because I don't know how.
Hey, I have a best thing. Can I go with a best thing
please,
real quick?
God, yeah.
This goes to... If you remember our last episode, this is like 2 weeks ago, we talked a little bowling versus golf.
Oh, yes. I've been dying to hear this.
One of my best friends, Tim Lynch, a.k.a. Tom Lunch, who is now engaged to a lovely lady.
To Tim
and
Tom.
We've always called Tim Lynch Tom Lunch because it just, I don't know, it just kind of rolls, right?
And Lunch is awesome.
And Lunch is great, and that's just a great name. She thought it was, for a small amount of time, thought it was an alias that he was like trying to be creepy online. And I'm like, no, that's because his Instagram handle is Tom Lunch. I'm like, no, that's what we call this guy.
Yeah.
That's his nickname. I know his nickname is
not
weird.
Not creepy at all.
It's not creepy. Trust me. He doesn't have a Tim Lynch account.
He's the guy.
I promise you, doesn't follow. He's like, so he commented about our bowling versus golf debate. And he said this, which I thought was really intelligent. He said, bowling and golf have to be the two best sports, the greatest sports for improving your math.
Interesting.
Think about
bowling's
it.
Bowling's really hard.
Really
with
hard.
With the math. I don't get that at all.
I can't do it. Can you score a bowling? Can you score
not
bowling,
at all.
You think?
Not at all. But I don't get a lot of strikes and spares, so I don't have to. I just add up eight
so
times
is
10.
A strike? It strikes your next two pins, right?
Next two pins, spares your next one pin. But I don't know if you get two strikes in a row, how many that multiplies it by. All I know is if you get them all down all the time, it's 300.
Thank you.
Right on the nose.
Thank you for breaking
so
that out.
Work
so anyway.
Backwards.
And then, so there you go. That was a great point. And also, when you're talking about more difficult sport or hardest sport, in terms of math, bowling would be harder than golf. So there you go.
A shout out to the guy on Twitter who told me that the 5 to 8 minutes I talked about bowling versus golf was his least favorite in this podcast history. Because I just want you to know, and this is from the bottom of my heart, I found it really interesting. And I truly, truly, truly don't mind that you don't like it. And I hope you got through this 4 minutes of bowling versus golf. I thought it was funny. It was a big part of my life for like a day. And I just needed to talk about it.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
You know what? You know what this guy's not going to like? Our next segment.
So this is the segue-less
he's
segment.
Gonna hate you. What is the guy's name? Do we have a name for this fella?
No idea. I don't want to shout him out because I'm sure he's a lovely man.
For
but,
sure. Whoever you are that chirped Max, I'm just going to let you know that the next 8 to 30 minutes that we spend is going to be awful, awful podcasting for you.
Awful
if you
thought bowling you want to hear what's golf. Worse podcasting, Shane?
What's that, buddy?
The surprise of the century. There's no outlet in this closet and my computer is about to die.
No way.
Hold on.
There's got to be an outlet. We got to find one.
Tell everybody what the
okay, Max.
Is.
Max is now looking. By the way, I'm very impressed. Did you bring a desk into this office?
Nope, it was here. It's actually a dresser.
Okay. I thought you'd pull in a whole
sense.
Desk. Very impressed.
I've been doing
segment,
push-ups, but I haven't been doing that many push-ups.
Our next segment. This is a first time maybe in podcasting history. We last night had an interesting text conversation about the planet Pluto. Or not planet, however you want to, whatever side you reside on. I think, Max, I'm going to speak for you. I think you and I are both pro Pluto as a planet, right? Is that fair to say?
I think Pluto was slighted more than just about anything in the entire universe, I can say, because it
is. That is really nice. Way to go. I like
Pluto
it.
Pluto got screwed.
Yeah, totally got the universe screwed. So I asked you, I said, let's rank our eight favorite planets. And you said, I'm down and you're in as you look for an outlet. You know what?
I'm grinding for an outlet. I think I found one.
You're good. Take a second. We'll just cut this for a second.
Nope.
Okay. We're not going to cut this. Okay.
Well, this is good.
Just so you know, right now, Max, again, this guy, professional golfer Max, currently sixth on the Aon Risk Reward Challenge list rankings, has, I would say, just a gaggle of cords in his hand. And he is walking to find an outlet. He's got cords. He's got his mic. He's got his mic connector. He just almost ran into a fan. This is play by play. This is what you're missing from me now.
If there's
a company out there that needs anybody to do cord broadcasting, I am your guy. I can broadcast people carrying cords all over the place, everywhere. But we decided to rank our eight favorite planets.
It'd be nine, Shane.
Here's the deal, though. This is giving an opportunity for Pluto to make the list and somebody to get bumped, right?
Oh, I didn't think about that angle.
Yeah, that's where I stood with it. So, do you mind if I start?
What my honorable mention is?
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's go.
Pluto.
Oh wow. Okay.
I feel like it deserved an honorable mention.
Didn't make your list. I don't know if that's the same case.
I've moved to the bathroom.
So now
I moved 12 feet to the bathroom. This is the smallest place on the planet.
And are you plugged in?
Come on, plug in, little guy. Okay, I'm back, baby.
I even heard the beat, Shane,
you're a real pros pro.
Okay, here we go. Eight planets. I'm going to start with number eight. Have I talked about the Hard Rock Cafe on this podcast more than just a couple times?
Yeah, in my obsession with it.
Yeah, I have. So no big deal. I finished third in state in the whole state of Texas one time on history fair projects with my Hard Rock Cafe thing. I mean, not a big deal. I wrote a letter to every Hard Rock Cafe in the country.
I actually heard about that when I was growing up. It was a huge deal.
It was a big room. Hold on real quick. Are you sitting on the toilet doing this?
Nope. Toilet's behind me. I'm actually, ironically, squatting in front of the toilet. Ironically.
I need you to maybe possibly take a selfie that we can post on the podcast Instagram account. Make sure you follow it at Good A Grip Pod. I'm a huge Hard Rock Cafe guy. I ride hard for them, staying for Hard Rock every day, all day. I make friends of mine go there and my wife to go there if we go to a city I've never been to one. My number eight is Planet Hollywood. I'm still pro Hard Rock Cafe, but my number eight favorite planets, I will visit a Planet Hollywood if they're still in existence, if there is no Hard Rock Cafe around. So that's my number eight, Planet Hollywood.
That's fair. I just did real planets.
Well, I figured you did. That's why I did this.
I want to just interject now that I have a power source. I almost every week, other than when I played Walt Riviera, I hope this is
about planets.
What are we going to talk about? I really think about that. I'm like, what could possibly be interesting this week? Like, I don't find myself particularly interesting. I think you are quite interesting. And even if you're not, your voice interests people. And I'm always like, man, especially this week, I was like, what are we going to talk about? I know like the Fox thing's kind of sad and like not the best news ever. I missed yet another cut. Not a whole lot to talk about there. I don't know if a lot of people care that much.
Plummeted on the risk reward challenge.
Yeah, I flubbed that. Answer. So I was like, man. And then, you know, lo and behold, this falls into my lap. I'm talking about planets on a golf podcast from a closet transition to a bathroom. The podcast just keeps on giving me.
Would you
some
say
humor.
That if you, as you look in the bathroom mirror right now, is this one of the, do you mind looking in the mirror? Do you mind? Is this one of those moments that you're like, damn, I all that grinding, all that hard work, all that time I put under the range and the putting green and the blood and the sweat brought me to this moment right here. You're number eight.
You guys know I hate flexing, but I made it. Like this is fame right here.
So what's your least favorite of the quote unquote real planets? Because again, Earth. Your honorable mentions Earth. Earth's eight.
I imagine that the other seven wouldn't bitch and moan about wearing a mask. Like, come on, they got bigger fish to fry than a mask.
You know what?
Can
I say this?
Gosh,
this could be the quickest 180 I've ever done. I went from thinking it was the worst eight. Do you say one sentence and I flipped 180 on it?
It's
possibly a great call. I don't think there's other planets and there's life on other planets that when there's a virus, it's not great. They're going, I don't really want to wear this cloth on my face.
Yeah. Hey, brutal. Listen, this could be the end of existence on Mars. All you have to do is put a piece of cloth over your nose. I don't think I really
hey
want
do
to.
You think in the Ice Age when there was an asteroid headed to Earth, if you'd have gone around to all the dinosaurs and you're like, yo, T-Rex, there's an asteroid coming, but if you wear this mask, it's gonna miss the Earth, and the T-Rex was like, I'm good, I'll take my chances, I'm gonna take my chances, no
I
mask.
Think they did I
this
think
is
they
how
took
I
their
eat
chances
look at
lost.
My teeth, you think this, you think that mask is gonna keep these teeth locked in? No.
Fair thought. Hard to eat one of the herbivores
nice,
with
nice.
A mask on.
Nice.
Yeah, also just to transition that, this is not a political take. This is just simply whether you think it does or doesn't help, maybe just wear it just in case. I don't know. That's just like a safe precaution.
You know what the one thing with the masks that I have noticed that I'm really awkward with is I tend to courtesy smile at a lot.
Dude, I was about to say that.
Especially in the service industry.
So
I do a lot of courtesy smiling. You know, you're having it. I picked up food today at a place, had my mask on, no touching, did the whole thing. And I could tell the person that was serving me my food was having a rough day. And I tried to do with like the warm smile.
Yeah,
but I realized that all you do is you see crow's feet. That's all you see here.
Yeah, you have to learn. I've been telling myself, we got to learn to smile with our eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you do it real quick? Let's see you smile. Can you eye smile? Oh, that's actually pretty good.
I've been working on it for
days.
You
know what? These are all these new commercials you're in. I think that's, yes, that's what you learn.
Like I said, fame personified.
Number 8 is Earth. I'm going to let you go with your number 7.
7 is Neptune. And the reason I put Neptune in 7th and not 8th was just simply because Earth is already taking up 8. And I feel nothing towards Neptune. It is the 7th from the sun. So it just fits in 7. I feel nothing about Neptune. Neptune was really only ever like I really only knew about Neptune because it was just like the closest to Pluto,
right?
Which
yeah,
is
it was just
my
closest
or maybe
to the baby.
It's the second close to Pluto. I don't remember, but it was near Pluto. It was Pluto adjacent. And like I was like, yeah, I really like Pluto. They're probably friends. If he's friends with Neptune, I'm friends with Neptune.
Do you think anybody has ever said Pluto adjacent in anything ever speaking in ever? Anywhere?
I'd like to say I'm the first. So
it could be the first time that's ever happened. I'm just happy to be a part of this moment in history.
Well, that's a pretty
good in English speaking history. Pluto adjacent.
I'm really curious to hear your next two because
so
I
my number
like where
7. My number 7 is Pluto. I feel like it needed to make the list. Was pro Pluto when I was a kid and learned about the planets. Always felt like it never got a chance. Had to be really cold. We didn't know anything about it. We just knew it was this kind of rock.
Is Pluto the Rudy of the planets?
Ooh.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, but you know what? Pluto didn't get in the game. Rudy got in the game. Pluto just
point.
The coach never let Pluto in. If nothing else, Pluto the coach made Pluto leave the field before
Pluto,
the game started.
Pluto is the equipment manager that actually didn't get to come in the senior game.
which is probably like 98% of the real stories
in
sport.
Most equipment managers, yeah.
You know what? Hey, if you're an equipment manager out there that didn't get the call in or didn't get a minute to join Club Trillion, you, my friend, are our Pluto, and we love you for it. My number 6, Phantom Planet. I was a big fan of the theme song for the OC. I didn't really get into the OC, but I liked the song. I'd listened to it a lot in college. I always had this dream of living in California and maybe being from California. So Phantom Planet, I feel like kind of nailed it with that song. That's my number 6. What's your 6?
I don't know if anybody's ever said that either.
So I just love the song. I don't know if I watched. Did you watch the OC?
No.
Did you watch Laguna Beach?
Is that the one with Lauren Conrad in it?
Yeah, I think so. I think
yeah,
they all had her in
love
it.
Love that show.
Did you watch Laguna Beach?
No.
All I remember about the show is one of the main characters drove
song,
a truck.
Obviously.
And I thought it was really cool that a guy in LA drove a truck because I obviously grew up in Texas.
We all drive Teslas now.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody.
What's your number 6?
My number 6 is I just realized I left my list in the closet.
Oh, no. You got to go back.
My number 6 is...
Are you now? Are you just making this up?
Oh, no, I remember. My number 6 is Mercury. Well, they're all actual planets.
Okay, planets. So
mine's Mercury.
Were you a part of the thing I talked about via text a while back where I said if you poll people for your favorite planet, Mercury would get the least amount of votes?
Yes, that was with Stamler and Brady and Greenberg.
Yeah, and I feel like everybody doubted this, but I just feel like Mercury's the forgotten planet. Nobody thinks about it.
It's also not the hottest. even though
Venus is hotter, right?
Yes, even though it's the closest sun. So, dude, come on, be known makes for no something. Sense. You can't just cruise through life.
Get an atmosphere,
being the
Mercury.
Closest to the sun. Although, actually, kind of a hard-o move to not even be that affected by the sun being the closest planet. So, I might walk that back a little bit, but it means very little to me.
Yeah, I don't think Mercury's got a lot for me. I'm pretty much out on it. Just so you know, spoiler alert, didn't make any of my list. Also, I'm gonna speak for myself here. Max, tell me if I'm wrong. Did zero research. So anything we say about a planet?
I mean, the research I'm getting off my head, top of my head right now. Too much Mercury is really bad for you. So,
and most of my research was somewhere between fifth and sixth grade. So that's that was a long time ago.
Which
personally.
is way longer for you than me.
Really long. My number five. Are you on? It's your five.
I'll go five. My number five is Jupiter. I like Jupiter.
Wow.
Jupiter, this is the split in the list number where it starts to become where I like it, but I'm not sure if I love it. Jupiter, known for being just enormous, just a Haas.
It's the Bryson of the planets.
A lot of T's. I think a lot of moons.
a ton of moons. Like 23 moons. Or something.
Oh, 23 it, moons.
I don't know. I just made that up. See,
as many moons as Bryson drinks protein shakes in a day.
Hey, should we? What do you want to? Let's go with our official number of moons and not check it. What are you going to go with for Jupiter?
I'm sticking with 16 moons.
All right, I'll say 23. My number five is Mars. I bet it's higher on your list.
It's way higher, actually.
Yeah, I put Mars as five. Cindy and I were watching something last night, and my wife made a point that I totally agree with. She hates the color red. I also hate the color red. I never wear it. Red. It's not my thing. So out on Mars, because it's kind of all it's got is red.
It is kind of just red.
And possible life.
Kind of with Jupiter as well. For
oh, come on, man. Jupiter's beautiful.
It's a bit red. It is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's got the storm. It's just
I'm not being very shallow with my pick, so I'm not into appearance.
Gotcha.
Although my next pick does have almost all to do with appearance. So cut this part.
Am I number four?
You're on four.
My number four is Venus. I mean, it made the top four, but it's not getting a medal.
I like that. My four is also Venus, just simply because it's considerably hotter than Mercury, even though it's further from the sun. So very obviously it's just an attractive planet. Obviously it takes
beautiful
most of
planet.
The sun's rays.
We can see it from Earth.
I live kind of on Venus living in Arizona. I mean, it has to be similar.
I sweat in my office chair inside right now, let me tell you, feels a little Venus-y.
Way to brag about your office while I'm in this bathroom.
just so you know, my office is, as you can see, just the guest room with the
desk.
Yeah. So that's just beautiful. But yeah, nice. Your turn, I think, for number three.
No, my number three, I'm missing something here. What planet am I missing?
Wow, and your list is in another room, so you have to go off the top of your head. Okay. Do you want me to go with my number three?
Nope, because I'm not going to come up with it because you haven't gone all planets. My number three is Saturn.
Same for me. I have number three as Saturn, as well.
That's two in a row. My reasoning, and I'm more curious here, your reasoning, really like the song by Drake, Big Rings, where he says, I got a really big team. They went, you know, we need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I love the ring. It just reminds me basically of the Los Angeles Lakers every time I look at it. Huge ring, big team guy.
Of Saturn's top five most played iTunes song. Do you think that song's in it?
I think it might be the only one, Shane.
That's it, huh?
Just, yeah.
I mean, I'm surely there's other songs about
Saturn.
Does
Jupiter play anything that's not Drops of Jupiter? No.
Oh, good point. Maybe some big boy he might play. You know, something something large because he's just a thicky,
whatever
thicky
song
boy. But
Bryson put in that music video, he or documentary.
What's the song that Patrick Reed always listens to over and over again on a loop?
I don't know. Nick Faldo knows. It's by... What's that band called that absolutely nobody likes?
It's a horrible song, right?
It's not a good song.
It's not the Rory
Imagine
Omega
Dragons.
Song. That's right. That's what's the Rory Omega song?
Omega,
Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Standing in the Hall of Fame.
I miss those commercials, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know if I do.
I do. My number two, Planet Fitness. I love
yes.
I love that Planet Fitness has the purple machines. And I also just want to say this. Planet Fitness has a lot of signs up about not being a creeper to, in particular, women working out.
Like
and I
that.
Just wanted to take this moment to speak
take a moment,
to men.
Shane.
And this is a PSA to all the men out there, if you're listening to this. And I'm going to guess, and this is just, we don't have demographics on the podcast, but I'd say probably more than 50% of our listeners are men. Would you say that's fair?
I mean, I sure hope so, because I don't know what woman is super interested in what we talk about.
It's not probably smart enough, but we probably lost a decent amount when we started the planet, and also lost a decent amount of everybody.
Right.
But
I think, if you're
a man, God bless, and you're going to the gym, let me just help you out here. The woman that's working out a couple of machines over from you, leave her alone. Don't talk to her. Just, you know what she's doing? She's there to work out. She didn't show up to the gym thinking, you know what I hope happens today? I hope I get hit on. That's never crossed her mind once. And you hitting on her means you're the creeper. So just leave women alone at the gym and let them work out. They're there for 45 minutes to get their lift in or to get cardio in, and they want to leave just like you. They're not looking for a date.
When she takes her headphone out and then puts it back in when you're done, and then you talk again, she has to take it out again. It's just like, it's a sign. Like, stop. Stop talking.
Like, I'm done. In general, let's just use this in general. Just don't do that in general.
Yeah, I don't
know.
That in
just don't be creepy in general. And that is your get a grip PSA of the week. So that I like that. I like that Planet Fitness pushes that that agenda, is to leave people alone, let them work out, and don't be a creeper.
Your list is so good. I really should have put more thought into this. I've been trying to think like a play on words with planet, and I can't really get one. I know there's a planet in Toy Story somewhere that was probably up there. But I was trying to say, like, I just plan it. Like, so
how many Toy Stories have you seen? How many of the Toy Stories have you seen? You've seen them all. Is there only four?
Let's hope so, because I thought I saw them all. Actually, let's hope not. Then I get to see another one.
I think I've only seen two. Big fan. They're good. What's your number two?
Uranus, because it's funny. That's literally the only reason. I honestly thought about not even putting on the list, but then I had to move it to two because it's still the reason it wasn't going to be on my list was because I think it's a childish joke. And then again, I thought, what's your brand, Max? Childish jokes. I got to add it.
I love it. I think it's really smart. Didn't make my list, but it's not a knock to Uranus. And one of the two, Uranus, by the way, you know what I've always thought since I was a kid? A child, I've thought this. Tell me if this is just psychotic thinking or if this makes sense. Since I was a kid learning this stuff, I have always in my head thought Uranus and Neptune are the Vermont and New Hampshire planets.
I love this.
I don't know which one's which ever. Can you name me if Vermont or New Hampshire's on the left or right? Do you have any idea?
It's on the East Coast.
They look the same.
No idea.
The people are similar. It seems like a great place to live. This is New Hampshire, Vermont, not Uranus and Neptune. Not sure about the living conditions of either of those planets.
Could be all right.
I've got no idea which in order is Uranus and Neptune.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I have no idea. Vermont, New Hampshire, never been there. Seems lovely, but also seems like I don't really, it's just not super important. And now if Vermont, New Hampshire have funnier names, hey, now maybe you'd make my list, but it's not funny enough.
Really good point. Good point. Could maybe spice things up with a name change.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Spice it up a little bit. By the way, I was thinking of this something about Pluto and I just totally blanked on it. I'm going to lead now with my number one. This is a big deal.
Okay, here we go.
Drum roll. If you guys have been keeping track at home, you already know what my number one is because I haven't thought of anything clever like Shane has. Mars. I texted you
number
this yesterday.
One.
I texted, yeah, oh yeah. And you're going to do a 180 as well. If you liked why Earth was eight, you're going to love why Mars is one. I texted you this yesterday. Mars gives me hope that all the bad people from here we can get sustained life on Mars and they can just go there. Just go there. Get out of
like
my hair.
That's if you're prison?
Mean, if you're mean, not prison. Like you could live your life. Like you could go live your life, but just not around me per se. Like we,
you okay.
Could, if you're not an anti-racist person, like go to Mars, do what you want over there. As long as it doesn't affect all us good people over here, all us nice people, all us people who are just trying to like, you know, get through each day. Go over there. If you're somebody who I tweeted out a video that I saw, I retweeted a video. This woman posted a tweet and then posted all the responses to it that were not particularly relevant nor nice. But she said some funny joke about how if she was an X-ray technician, she would always make the person do a second one and say, hey, now do a goofy one. So, you know, it's just a joke. She's not an X-ray technician. Well, her responses were unbelievable. She highlighted words like heartbreaking. she highlighted that about 100 people said it's not technician, it's technologist. People just not understanding that it's a joke, being very what is it, mansplaining? They were mansplaining her joke.
They were x-ray
business. Yeah, they were looking right through her actual tweet, not reading between the lines, looking right through it like x-ray. So all those types of people, just you could
they're
go
all
Mars.
Going to Mars?
Just, I mean, yeah. Let's split this up. Good.
Can I throw some people in Mars nice from this past
yeah,
week?
Throw some people.
So I have received, when things happen in your life, you know, like, you know, Fox Golf going away and me not getting a chance to do these events that I love doing. You get a lot of messages and 99% of them are great. Get a lot of, you also get some really, really,
you
bad
get the Mars answers.
You get some Mars. That's what I'm going to start calling it.
I love it.
Hey, why are you frustrated? Oh, somebody just sent me a message from Mars.
Yep.
I love this idea now. I'm in. I kind of wish I could move Mars up in my list, but my list is already finalized, like the Ten Commandments. My number one
wow,
obviously is Earth. Hello.
Hello.
Come on.
I don't know if we've ever been this off on our list. We have 8-1 completely.
Well, I just, like, opposite. Earth's got water, big fan of water. Earth's got mountains, water. Like mountains. Earth's got golf courses, big fan of those as well. Rivers, I'm a big fan of. I like streams. I like deer. Squirrels are pretty cool. I mean, squirrels, there's a lot of cool things on Earth that I'm a fan of, like iced coffee. Can't get that anywhere else. You know,
Well, you haven't been to another planet. I bet you Pluto had some unbelievable iced coffee. It was probably mostly ice.
Super cold. Very, very chilled.
Gosh.
Don't need
a cube.
You
never need a refrigerator.
Don't need a cube. You're good to go. You know what? I decided to go to school at the University of Arizona. I was between U of A and Syracuse, and I met somebody that went to Syracuse when I studied abroad. They said at Syracuse, you don't ever have to buy ice for your beer. You just literally set your 30-pack outside all the time at any point, and you're good
cold
to go. What'd you say?
It might get too cold.
It might. That's the only fear, is it might be too cold.
Wow. There's the Coors Light blue mountains are just popping blue.
Oh, just like the same blue as Uranus slash Neptune. I'm not sure which one's more blue, but one of them is really blue. Awesome list. If you could send us your top eight.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
we'll, you know what? We'll like it. If you send us your top eight, we'll both like it. That'll be fair. Two hearts. Next to that, if you bought a hat, if you donated to a food bank and you got to get a grip hat, they either should be at your house, you should be wearing it right now, or they are en route to your home, because I already have a few people that have already received them. So thank you, by the way. Thanks again for all that.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Max, what else do you have?
Not a whole lot, if I'm being honest. I would like to say that I was wrong. I missed Southern California.
this has been quite
a week already. Shout out to Scott Hind and the Farms for letting me practice out here for the week. So that's been great.
What have you been working on?
Putting. Oddly enough, really been putting. May have switched putters. You'll have to tune in to the broadcast if I somehow make it on there within the next year or so. But I went back to my old trusty blade wand.
Wait a minute. Now you just spoiled it. You said maybe you have to tune in. Maybe.
Tune in to find out. It's only been one day, but I played well today, put well today. So, maybe it's worked its way back into the bag. The other one definitely did. I don't have a kid, Shane, but it deserved a timeout. I never know how you guys as parents decide the line
just
of where it's timeout.
Just scream really loud at them.
This was a timeout type situation. So whether it comes back in the bag or not, I don't know, but it's sitting the bench. It's the equipment manager on senior night right now.
It's
like,
a beautiful, beautiful putter. That's the only bummer, is I really like looking at you putt it with it. But the other Scotty's awesome too.
It looks prettier when the ball goes in.
Yeah, definitely. I played golf this past week at a golf course in Frankston, Texas, and it's called Pine Dunes, and it's a golf course that
kind
I have touted
of an oxymoron.
Years and years. Well, it's because there's pine trees and dunes.
And
there.
Dunes,
That's
yeah,
why.
It's awesome.
I've touted this place for a long time. It's the middle of nowhere. It's hard to find, but they now have a sign on the road. They used to not have one.
It's hard to
drive
find.
Right. Oh, it's super hard to find. But
mark
it is
a good course.
A lovely, lovely golf course. And I urge people, if you ever have a chance and you're in Dallas or Houston, you can get there, go play Pine Dunes, because I'm telling you, I had a chance to play it. I haven't played it in the summer months. I played it in the winter a few years ago, and winter golf in Texas for the most part is not great. Everything's kind of dormant, and I got a chance to play it, and it was in great condition. And that golf course, I would say, if that golf course was in a more prominent area, it would be
a findable area.
Easier, a little easier to find. If your GPS worked to find it, people would, like, all of those Instagram golf course quote unquote experts would be touting this place.
Oh yeah,
highly. So Pine Dunes, shout out, love that golf
course.
Shane,
I just thought of a Feel Good Friday. So here's my hold on.
Okay, go.
Okay. Hey, I know that you're free for next year's U.S. Open now, perhaps. Now you can win the damn thing and not need to worry about doing both broadcasting and golf. You could be single-minded focus. Maybe that's what's been holding you back from winning the U.S.
Yeah,
Open.
I knew for a long time that I had a job to do. And I'm not ever going to not do my job. I got to live up to my word.
Of course, you're a hardworking guy. You're going to dial in your job. But now, listen.
You know what?
You're freed up to win the
This
win the
frees me up, man. You know what? Do you think this is why Jim Nance has never won the Masters?
You know what? Starting to think so.
I never thought about it till right now. This is the chance that maybe Nance never won the Masters because he knew he had to broadcast.
Is this why Tiger's never been in the booth because he's always been too focused on playing?
Such a good point. Mm. We really are cracking this egg right open. Mm,
interesting.
It's a big egg.
Stuff to chew on.
So, this is now I need to focus on professional golf. I have a qualifier on Monday. And I have in my room right now, speaking of people that are struggling with their putting, I have counterweight putter. I have just a regular ping putter that's great. And I now have an arm lock putter that I've been messing around with.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on arm lock.
Those are the three things that I'm currently messing around with.
What's your qualifier?
It's for the Arizona Open, I think. Arizona Open?
Where are you playing? Or where is the big one?
I don't know. I don't know anything. Okay. It's
I like qualifier. It. You're focused on the qualifier. This is the only thing that matters.
I am so locked. Look at my eyes right now. Look, can you see them?
You're not only intense, but I can tell you're kind of smiling with your eyes. You've been practicing.
Do you think? How many people listen to this point? Thank you all for always listening. One last time, I just want to say,
or for sometimes listening,
or occasionally listening. To everybody that has reached out about the Fox USGA thing, thank you very much. It's very nice of you. To everybody that has been a part of this over the last few years, I just say again, thank you. You were lovely. Everybody at the USGA, Landy, Jinkola, the guys that we worked with, you made our jobs better and easier. To Mike Davis and everybody there, it was an honor to broadcast those championships. It'll be something I'll remember for my entire career. And if I never do anything else in this world of broadcasting again, I will always call it a success. Getting a chance to do that because it really was an honor of mine. I would have done it for free, but don't tell anybody that because
I won't tell a soul. Shane, we know this will not be your last. This will not be
better.
The only golf stuff you've done, you're going
to
do bigger and better. I did just think of something. If and when I win the U.S. Open this year, I'm not going to do an interview until I do it with you. So.
What if you refuse to?
I will decline media.
I'm not speaking. I'm doing the podcast. You want to hear my thoughts? They'll be on Get a Grip on Wednesday. We don't know what day.
We'll figure it out. It depends how much I drink that night.
Follow the Instagram account at Get a Grip Pod. We've got koozies. We had a first run of koozies that had an error on them. So those are going to be Lily White sessions. They just had quotes around the line that I put in there. And so I have, this is like right here, Max. I have like 250 koozies that are just going to be sitting here because we're getting a new shipment they don't have the air. So these are going to be, I think these will be the collector's item. These are like they're like the Sevi visor that has the Nike and the Nike on top of each other. That's what these
totally.
Are.
But it's like we have when koozies. Titleist used to, like when you had a bad golf ball, they would make them practice golf balls.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember the XL. Those were always great.
No big deal.
That's it. We have koozies. We're going to send them out to some people. We'll do some contests and stuff. So follow that at Get a Grip Pod account on Instagram. I'm Shane Bacon. That's Max Homa. Max, I hope you enjoy Southern California time. When do you play next?
I play next week. The first of the two events at Muirfield Village. So looking forward to that. I really like the golf course. We'll talk again before that. Shane, I want to thank you for your honesty, your transparency. We all love you. I'm glad we got to learn a little bit about this whole situation, albeit not the best situation. Like I said before, you're going to be doing bigger and better things. Maybe some people will be calling you Joe Buck pretty soon. The Joe Buck of golf. People don't seem to love his golf stuff. So hopefully they're not nicer to you on my Twitter than they have been vice versa. So
do you get, you were getting, I mean, like that's one thing that I haven't done much social stuff. I got off Twitter. I mean, I didn't want to be around it. So, yeah, I mean, I can only imagine, but
there's
a lot of good,
like you said, 99% good, but I feel like the 1% just either have an opinion to have an opinion, or they actually do have the opinion, but some are just, I don't agree with a lot of it. So I guess it's unfair to me. If it's my opinion, you could have your opinion, but, I just think that it's going to be great. Like, I can't wait till you get to do, whether it be golf or maybe you can finally do that college basketball thing. I don't know. That'd be pretty fun. I think it'll be really good. So we're all looking forward to the next step that you have, and the whole next step that a lot of those guys have, because Curtis and Brad, they're fantastic as well.
There's so many guys and girls at Fox that were really, really, really talented, and I hope everybody lands on their feet. I know it's a stressful time for everybody. So if you worked at Fox, if you were a part of it at any capacity, just know I love you and you're a rock star. And you made my job a hell of a lot easier. I'm telling you, everybody on TV, that's the cameras on them, there are 2,000 people out there that are making them look way better than they really are, including whatever makeup artist is there that week. You get a lot of the powder. But I appreciate the words, buddy. I mean, it's been an interesting week, but trying to stay positive, trying to look at it as a positive thing. And like I said, the same thing I sent Dan Hicks. I know they'll crush all the USGA championships, because they do a great job with all of it. So it'll be fun to see from the couch and get a chance to dive into Wingfoot and Bandon. We'll be back on. Are we gonna do Monday? You wanna
do Monday? Let's do Monday, Shane.
We'll do Monday.
We'll be back on Monday. Get back on track.
Listen, hey, this we do this for fun, okay? Listen, we're doing this for fun. We're not getting checks poured into the podcast. We're having fun. Max is having to do it in the bathroom. We will be back next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Wash your hands.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.